Amen. Psalm 119. My mama never cooked the turkey. Never. She didn't like turkey. She always got the biggest hen that she could find. And she'd cook it just like a turkey. She'd stuff it and everything. And you're talking about good.
Amen.
All right, Psalm 119. I want to talk to you tonight about comfort in affliction. You know, there are a lot of folks in our church suffering afflictions, heart, health, home, finances. We all suffer affliction. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean I'm free from the curse of sin on this old world. And just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I'm going to get out of anything in this old world. Now, sometimes I'll pray and God will have mercy on me and deliver me from the things of this world. But I'm still going to suffer. This corruptible must put on incorruption, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this mortal must put on immortality, he said. So until that happens, I'm just as subject to affliction as anybody else on planet Earth. Now, I'm not one of these charismatics and walks around and says, I'm not going to receive that. It don't matter whether I receive it or not. It's there. And as I go through this world, if it's God's will, I will be afflicted. Now, it may not be, it may be physical, it may be mental, it may be emotional, it may be a heart problem, spiritual heart. It might be anything, but we all suffer affliction. Okay, don't think that anybody gets out of here without suffering. All right? And that's the curse of sin. You want to blame it on somebody, blame it on the devil. Yes. He's the one that brought it in there in the Garden of Eden. That's right. And Adam tried to blame it on his wife. He put the blame on the wrong thing. You remember when the Lord found him, he said, where you at, Adam? He said, I was over here hiding. He said, why? He said, Lord, that woman you give me, she gave me that fruit and I ate it. And is that not what he said? What he should have said was, Lord, you know that serpent hurt my wife. Amen. So we're all under that curse of sin, okay? But you know, God's promised us a pathway that we can get some comfort in time of affliction. We can get comfort. And so, Psalm 119 verse 49, let's start. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That's where our hope it is. All my hope's there. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That word quickened means made alive. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Boy, I wish more people would learn that one. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. That's where we're at in our country today. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that have forsaken thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. And then I was reading just a few minutes ago, and I had wanted to read you a passage here. In Psalm 77, verse 1, he says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Yes. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And he says, Selah, think about that. Think on that. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. He said, I'm remembering the good old days too. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy goings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. And he goes on through there and he pours out his heart to the Lord. But you know, we have to have hope. We got to have hope in times of affliction. We've got to have it. This old world doesn't give much hope. It's cold and it's hard. But God's word, his promises never fail. In verse 49, he said, remember the word unto thy servant, which thou hast caused me to hope. Amen. See, God's promises apply in this passage. He said, remember the word unto thy servant. God gives hope to his servants. Now there's a lot of people that take the name of Jesus as a some kind of name tag or they claim it, you know, as something, but there's very few servants of God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. That means you'll serve him. You'll serve him. And not many want to serve the Lord. It's strange that so many people want to be served. They want to be served. And the only time to call on God is when they need service. And they want the preacher to come bail them out, or the deacon, or the church, but whatever happened to people that love his commandments and they try to keep them, and they apply those promises to themselves. Did you know God's got a perfect memory? It says right here. He said, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. God's got a perfect memory. God never forgets, and he will not forget his promises, and that's where my hope is. We sing that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. God gave me that promise. Yes. God gave me that promise. I didn't make that up. God's got a perfect memory. He never forgets. And I don't think he would raise false hopes, do you?
Yes, sir.
I don't think that a loving, kind father would raise false hopes. I believe God keeps his promises.
Amen.
And I've always tried to keep my word with my children. And I believe God's a better father than I am. Amen. But he says, remember. How are you going to remember if you don't read the Bible? And then as you read the Bible, here's what's going to happen. You're going to remember how good God's been to you so far. That'll give you hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like God's beat you up all the way to now. No, sir. God's took care of us. Even when we were lost, God had mercy on us. Even when we didn't know him, God had grace on us. And then look at verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now that's the power of God's word. See, the psalmist David, as I just read you a while ago, he was just about worn out. He was just about worn out, and he was sick, and he was sick and tired, and he's lost all his friends, and it seemed like the whole world had turned against him, and even God was not talking to him anymore. But then he said, and then I remembered.
Yes.
Then I remembered. And so what we need to do is realize that God's word can revive our heart, our mind, our spirit, and even our body. The word of God can do that. Bring it to life. I've seen God do it so many times. There's all kind of people, you know, that seek somebody to give them comfort. You know how we're supposed to give people comfort? By the word of God.
Amen.
A lot of times I'll talk to people and I'll say, well, I really can't sympathize with you. I can't empathize with you. I've never been through anything like this. I've never experienced anything like this. But let me tell you who can.
Jesus.
Let me tell you who can.
That's
amen.
Yeah.
And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in all like manner was he tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen.
Yes.
And so God's word can help people. God's word is life-giving. Think about this. God spoke and the world was created by the word of God. That's it. It's by the word of God that everything that we see was created by the word of God. And then Colossians 1:16 says, by him were all things created. And I think it's verse 18, it says, and by him all things consist. Not only did he create it, he holds it together.
Amen.
Just like that water, that bottle holds that water together.
Yes.
God holds my body together just like that and your body together.
Yes.
If you know anything about your seventh and eighth grade science class where they made you look through those little microscopes in those dead frog cells and stuff, you know, and but you remember those little cells, you thought, man, that little thing, they taught you about the neutron. And they talk the nucleus and the protons and all this stuff. And I thought to myself, well, there's a little universe right there.
Amen.
What holds that stuff together? It's all moving at the same time. And every cell's made out of stuff that's moving. And how in the world does it stay together? And if it ever stops moving, you're dead. But as long as it's moving, what holds it together? Why doesn't it just fly off into eternity? Because he created it and he holds it together. By him all things consist. If God took his hand off planet Earth today, it would leave its orbit and go out yonder somewhere and bump into another planet or anything out there, see? And so we got to remember that God's word creates life, gives life, sustains life, and does whatever he wants it to do. God's word will do that with our life. Amen? And I've told y'all before, every time I go to the doctor, he'll say, Ron, do you tell people what a miracle you are? What a walking miracle. You had crippling arthritis, that rheumatoid arthritis, and it's gone. And said you had that neck injury, your spine injury, and except for that little pill you take, that flubroprofen to keep the swelling down there, it's gone. and that hepatitis B, every time you go get a test, they said you had live hepatitis. And it hasn't affected your kidneys or your liver. You got a liver like a baby. And said, are you telling people this stuff, Ron? Are you telling people that the miracles that God's done? Now, this is the doctor telling me to tell people what miracles God can do. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God's word does that.
Yes.
I just claim God's word. Every time I get sick, I say, God, I can't be a preacher like this. I can't serve you like this. I can't tell people about Jesus like this. I got to have my feet. I had diabetes and it went away, you know. And I think I took two pills and I laid it on the altar and said, God, I can't have diabetes. I got to have my feet. I got to have my legs if I'm going to do what you want me to do, you know. And then that doctor said, we got to operate on that spine. We're going to go in right here to get to your spine and we're going to lift those two vertebrae apart. We're going to put a piece of bone between them and you're not going to be able to talk for 6 weeks. I said, I can't do that. I'm a preacher. And at the time, I was leading the singing too. He said, well, you won't be singing probably for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it could be that your voice will never come back the way it was because we're going right through that larynx and we're going right through that what's wrapped around your spine, got fluid in it, you know, we're going to go through all that. And you're not going to be able to eat solid foods for weeks and weeks. You're going to have to drink through soup through a straw. And I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I went back and told God, I said, God, I can't do this. Now, if you want me to do something for you. You see, God's word, if you'll just trust him.
Yes.
And in all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. And draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to thee, see. And David knew that, the power of God's word. Sometimes you need to remind God, say, God, Lord, you saved me. You give me eternal life. I know I'm going to live as long as you want me to live, but I'm also going to have eternal life. But Lord, do you really want me going through this? What can I do for you if I'm going through this? And sometimes it takes going through something to do something for him.
Yes.
Some of the best witnesses I've ever met was laying on a sick bed. Amen.
Yeah.
Some of the best witnesses I ever met lost everything they had before they became a good witness. Amen.
Amen.
And what you gotta do, you gotta remember the power of God's word. The Lord has not left us comfortless.
Yes, sir.
He's left his Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm gonna send the comforter.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He didn't leave us comfortless. We're not like them heathens out there that bow down to some statue of wood or stone or gold or something which has no feelings,
right.
Can't speak, never wrote a book, never had an apostle, never had a disciple, and we bow down to that old cold idol, and what good is it? No comfort at all. By the way, materialism's one of them. You can have the biggest car, the biggest house, the biggest bank account, but what good is it when hard times come?
Yeah.
Amen. You can't buy your way out of affliction. Amen. And then look at verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision. In other words, they've been giving him a hard time. Yet have I not declined, look at that, from thy law.
Amen.
My goodness. Now, sinners are arrogant. They're just arrogant. And don't think if you're going to serve God that sinners are not going to bother you. You are sadly mistaken.
Amen.
Matter of fact, they're not going to bother you until you do start serving God.
Exactly.
Now you sit over on the side, you go to church on Sunday and you can sit up on the front. You can say amen. You can sing in the choir. As long as you don't take it outside those doors, sinners are not going to bother you. And that's what they tell you. They'll say, keep your religion down there at the church. And I say, well, I ain't got no religion, and Jesus told me to take it into all the world.
Amen.
And look, these people are arrogant, and they're going to hate you. Jesus said they hated me, they'll hate you. He said that they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. He said they killed me, they'll kill you.
Yes.
This world's wicked. And listen to this. Our comfort and our perseverance comes from obeying God, and then he rewards us by not being afraid and not being timid, but he'll fill you with his Holy Ghost and give you power that you can be a witness for him.
Amen.
Now, one of our afflictions is persecution. Our faith is attacked today more than it's ever been attacked in this nation. And look here, though. Well, to thank God that we live in a time that just about everybody you meet is a sinner. Jesus said, pray therefore the Lord of harvest, he sent forth laborers, because laborers are few, but the harvest is plenteous. There are no shortage of sinners.
That's right.
There's a shortage of saints that's willing to say anything. And they'll let these people attack them, and they'll let them belittle them and everything else, and they'll shut their mouth. And they'll put their religion down at the church every Sunday, and they'll leave it there every Sunday when they leave. But see, there's no comfort in that. That kind of Christian is not comforted. They're convicted all week long.
Amen.
I told you I had that job evaluation. Every year they would evaluate our performances. And I told you I had that job evaluation once every year. And the man called me in there and he said, well, Ron, you show up to work early. You're a good employee. And you work overtime when you ask. You're a good employee. And he says you do your job real well and real sufficient. You know, you're a good employee. He said, we only got one problem here. I said, what's that? He said, people don't like to talk to you. They don't like to work with you. I said, why? He said, well, they said all you want to talk about is church and Jesus and the Bible and stuff like that. I said, now, wait a minute. He said, Ron, you're going to have to quit that or we're going to write you up. We're going to write you a warning. I said, well, how many warnings does it take to get fired? He said, 3. I said, go ahead and write all 3. That's what I told him. I said, I feel convicted. I don't say enough now. I said, there's no way I'm going to back up. I said, I ought to say more and I don't. I said, but the owner of this company made me a deal when I couldn't work here. As long as I didn't stand up on a table and preach, I could talk about Jesus. I said, because I told him the first 30 minutes I worked with a man, he's going to tell me what he did over the weekend. He got drunk, he run around, he fornicated, he lied, he stole, whatever he did. He's going to be so happy to tell me that. So you got to give me the right for the next 30 minutes to tell him what I did over the weekend.
Yes, sir.
He said, you can do it. And I said, the owner of the company told me that. I'm the only one he ever had to interview because I was a preacher and they didn't want a preacher working here. And I said, I'm not stopping. I said, matter of fact, I feel real guilty that I don't say more. I might start saying more. He said, we'll write you up. I said, go ahead, because I'm not stopping. And here's what I'm saying. If you're not a good witness, if you're not bold for Christ, if you don't stand up for Jesus, you're going to have an affliction called conviction. That rhymes. Write that down. An affliction called conviction. Because the Holy Ghost of God is going to convict you every time you keep your mouth shut. And the only thing that's going to fix that is the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, allowing Him to bring it to your remembrance so that you'll say it so other people can be saved. Because who gives you the right to decide who gets saved and who don't? What do you mean, preacher? Well, if you don't witness to everybody, then you must be deciding who's worthy of salvation and who's not. And you're only talking to them. Why not talk to everybody about it? And that way, if somebody gets saved, they must be the right one. Amen? It wasn't your pick, it was God's pick. And so perseverance in obeying God's word is sometimes an affliction. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
It is hard work sometimes to be a good Christian.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm tired of this class of tattered jeans, wore out tennis shoes, and all this worldly stuff that they want to fit in with the crowd. And I got me a new tattoo this week. I got Jesus Loves Me right here. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they do that is to fit in with that worldly crowd out there because it's hard to be different.
Amen.
He says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith Lord of hosts. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. That's what he said. Now you listen to me. Listen. It is hard work to be a good witness and a good testimony in the world we live in. But if you don't, it's harder work to put up with being convicted every day that you're not doing right. I'd rather the sinner condemn me than the Savior do it every day.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'd rather the sinner call me a hypocrite than the Savior to call me a hypocrite. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, man, I'm going too slow, ain't I? I'm going to go over a little bit here. Number 50, verse 52. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. By reflecting on the word of God, you'll comfort yourself. Everybody wants a comforter. Everybody. And listen, the best comforter you'll ever have is yourself by the word of God that you already know.
Amen.
I've been there. I've sat in that seat where people thought they had to comfort me, but what they didn't know is I was already comforted.
Yes.
And there's nothing that a human being can say to you that'll comfort you in some times of affliction. But God can.
Yes, sir.
And the only way God can do that is through His Word. So you've got to know His Word before you can remember His Word to be comforted by His Word. And the problem with the modern day Christian is they don't know anything about the Bible.
No.
Don't know anything about the Bible. They got instant sermons and instant everything. They don't know anything. Look, here's what comforts me about comforting myself with the Word of God, just like he did. I know God never changes.
Right.
And I know if God said it, that settles it. And no matter what the circumstances look like, or no matter how I feel or how low I might get, I know I have the victory in Christ Jesus because God said it.
Yes.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, 1 John 5. He says, let me tell you something. The Word of God is how we deal with our afflictions, and we comfort ourselves by the Word of God. Now, I'm a pastor. I try to comfort people sometimes. I try to comfort them. But I can look at you and tell whether or not I'm comforting you or not. And some people, they'll call me. I had a preacher one time come to a funeral of one of his members at my church over on John Street. And it was his member that died, but the relative wanted me to preach the funeral because the relative said, you do a better funeral than our pastor does. And then he came, the pastor came, shocked me. I don't know if I'd have showed up or not, but the guy showed up and I went to him quietly. I said, this is your church member. Wouldn't you like to say something? No. I said, wouldn't you like to open in prayer or maybe pray at the end or read a verse or something? No, no. I said, it's your church member. He said, yeah, but you do it so much better than I do. And I said, I don't do it. I just stand up and preach. The Lord has to do the comforting. Amen?
Amen.
But see, the way I comfort you is by remembering how God comforts me.
Yes.
Through his word. And that's how I get comfort. And while I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to you what he's already done for me. That's all I'm doing. And he's already comforted me. Amen. Now, boy, there's so much I could do in that one. There's no comfort. Listen, there's no comfort in this old world of drugs and alcohol and demons and devils and all these things. There's no comfort in this world. You know, doctors used to try to comfort you. They don't even try to comfort you anymore. Doctors don't have bedside manner anymore. You remember when they used to have a little compassion? They don't even have compassion anymore. They just walked into Chad and said, yeah, that looks dead. We're going to have to cut that off. What? The boy was shocked. He didn't know what to say. Walked into my mom and told me, said, oh, we're going to have to cut her leg off up to the knee. Because she had gangrene in the big toe, in her foot. And I said, no, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah, that's what we got to do. I said, if you do that, she's 90-something years old. She won't live through that. No comfort. And then they got a young doctor. He come in there. They said, we'll get him. Maybe he can try something different. And he did, and it worked. And then he operated on that toe and took it off and saved her foot and everything. But before he went in there, here's what he said. And he was just in his 30s, and he came over and he talked to me. And he said, Pastor, here's what we're going to do. You're going to pray, and I'm going to work.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he said.
Yes, sir.
He said, you stay out here and you pray that God will guide my hand, and I'll go in there and I'll go to work. And we'll trust the Lord to do what needs to be done. And I thought right then, this is fixed.
Yeah.
This is fixed. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. But see, if I didn't know God's word, that really wouldn't have comforted me because I wouldn't have known how to pray. And then look at verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Is that not where we're at today? Turn on the evening news. Turn on the evening news. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Now, let me tell you something. The wicked are no threat to us. Alright? They're no threat to us. People say, ain't you worried about people coming to your neighborhood and burning down? No, no, no. 10,000 times no. You don't know where I come from. I've known these kind of people all my life. There just wasn't so many of them. And God's took care of me.
Amen.
God's took care of me over and over and over. I don't have a gun permit. I'm glad you guys do. If one ever comes in, I'm going to hit the deck. Y'all take care of it.
Amen.
But I'm concerned about everybody else. I ain't concerned about me because the devil's missed me many times already. Amen. I'm not worried about it. Now, we look at what's going on in the world. We're horrified with these people. Some of the evil, vicious, blasphemous, ungodliest people you'd ever heard in your life. Well, I watch some of those videos of those rioters and all, you know, and they come up to those street preachers and they get right up in their face. By the way, that's a better preacher than I am.
Yes.
I'd have took that sign, I'd have put it, And they'll get up in their face and they'll blaspheme God and they'll blaspheme that person and some of the vilest, ugliest, nastiest, filthy. Now, growing up, everybody knew cuss. Men, women didn't cuss in public. I don't know if it did in private or not, but men didn't cuss in public. Not in front of women. They cussed in front of men. And I grew up cussing. I'll be honest with you. My mama never heard me cuss.
Amen.
If I couldn't think of a word, I'd make one up. Woman told me one time, said, I want you to go see this fella here. He'll probably cuss you out. I said, that's all right. I've been cussed out before. Done a little cussing myself before I got saved. It didn't hurt a bit. And I went to see him. But let me tell you about these people. These are horrible people.
Yes.
They stir the horror in society. And they're the dregs of society. And because they forsake the law of God, they're not a threat to me. They're a lot of talk. But they're not a threat. I've had them threaten me before. You know why I don't think they're a threat? Because they're on the wrong side of God's law. They're on the wrong side of God's law. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of wicked that forsake thy law. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Did you know we delight in the word of God? Psalms is really songs. Psalms is songs. Ain't that right, Jeffrey? Now, I have seen where some people put them to music. And the Jews would sing these things. And if you'll watch one of these Jewish things, you know, where they go into their synagogue, they sing these things. Of course, it's not tuned like we know. It's different. It's wholly different than what we know. But see, that's songs. That's what he's talking about. Songs in the night, remembering the Word of God. Remembering the Word of God. And if we'll do that, if we'll meditate on the Word of God, it'll bring joy to our heart.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Look at verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. You ever woke up in the middle of the night and didn't know why you was awake? And then you start thinking, how's my daughter? How's my grandchild? How's this? How's that? And boy, you just get to pray and you get to pray and you get to pray. And then most of the time you'll fall asleep while you're praying. but I don't look. I've woke up in a cold sweat at night worried about one of my children. Just can't get off my mind. And crying. You ever woke up crying? I just woke up crying about one of my kids. And had all these crazy things going through my head, you know. And then get up, go in the living room or something, pray about it a while, and hopefully it goes away. But even if it don't, I get the peace of God on it. Because I know what God's word says. Listen, I'm talking about our afflictions, okay? Everybody has them. How are we going to get comfort? We're going to get comfort. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. You know what he's saying? This has become mine because I've observed this. I've claimed this. This is mine. This is mine. And because of that, I'm trying to live in obedience. Obedience. I'm trying to obey God. I'm trying to obey God's word. And because of that, I've got hope that I have help. And I've got the peace of God. And I've got the presence of God in me. How do I get that? Because of the word of God. Listen, people don't know how powerful this thing is. This is a supernatural book. It's supernatural. I think you said that the other day. This is supernatural. You can take this into a jail. I've done it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times and preach out the Word of God and see big, mean, bad men just grab the back of a seat and squeeze till their knuckles turn white and weep like little children. Just tears run down their face and drip. I preached at Army Reserve, some tough men. I told them over there one time. I said, you've been trained to kill people and some of you's done it. You've been in battle. You've killed people. And then I'd say, I'm going to ask you to do something harder than killing a man. And that's believing God. And asking him to save you. And I've seen him get saved. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten at the time get saved down at the Army Reserve and over at the jailhouse. Why? Because that's the most powerful thing on planet Earth. Now you listen to me. Lay that on your affliction. Like whether it's a broken heart, whether it's sickness or sin or trial or tribulation, lay it on your sickness. Let me tell you what to do. And this is a gross example, okay? Did you ever get a boil or an infected place when you was a kid? A boil? Y'all know what a boil is. It swells up and it gets old. My mom would take a piece of raw fat back, salt it. If we didn't have fat back, she'd get a piece of a potato, just slice a piece of potato and salt it. And she'd tape that thing on that affliction. She'd tape it on there. And overnight, it would draw all that poison up and pull it up into that piece of meat or that piece of potato. And your boil would be gone. Lay that on your affliction. Lay that on your affliction. God will draw all that poison out of it. God will draw all that worry and that care out of it. And listen, God will make that affliction better if you'll lay his inerrant word on it.
Yes.
Now, I'm not telling you he's going to bring you out of whatever it is. I'm not going to tell you he's going to deliver you right away, but I'm going to tell you this. It's going to feel a lot better. Next day I'd get up and I'd say, that boil's gone. Amen. I'll show you the difference. When I was a little boy, I was about 5 years old, I think it was, and I got a boil on my leg right here down in the inner thigh. And they let it get so big I couldn't walk. So they took me to the hospital, and when I went to the emergency room, I barely do remember it. They took me in there and they took some kind of tool. And they stuck it down that boil and they twisted it and pulled that core out. And then the boil went down. Now that's the way the world works on you.
Yeah.
Amen? It's painful when the world tries to fix you, but you take the word of God and he'll just overnight while you're asleep maybe, he might draw that thing out there. It might be a heartache or a heartbreak or a trial or a tribulation or sickness or disease, but lay that on it. That's the salt of the earth right there. Lay that on it. Amen. That's what you do with your affliction. Listen, four times he said, remember, and God do the work. Amen? Just remember. Remember what he's done for you in the past. Remember what he's doing right now. And then look forward to what he's going to do. Amen? Trust him. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant word. Thank you for the balm of Gilead.
Yes.
Thank you for the rose of Sharon. We can lay some of those petals on our troubles. Thank you for the bright and shining one, Lord. Thank you for the Lord of glory. Thank you for the coming King.
Yes.
Thank you for being that suffering servant to die in our place, to suffer for us so we wouldn't have to suffer. And Lord, thank you that you said if we call, you'd answer. You said if we'd ask, we'd receive. If we'd seek, we'd find. If we'd knock, it'd be open unto us. And you said if we asked for a fish, you wouldn't give us a serpent. Or bread, you wouldn't give us a stone. You're not going to trick us. You're going to do what's best for us. And we got some folks in our church that's afflicted right now, going through all kinds of things. Lord, our nation's afflicted. Our churches are afflicted. Would you please pour out that balm on us tonight, Lord, and heal us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, sing.